grace and mercy and his rich peace be yours this day in the name of Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. Amen. John 3:16, Ron read it just a minute ago for us. You've seen John 3:16 in a variety of places. You've seen it in white letters in an athlete's eye black, perhaps, or written in Sharpie on the side of their shoe. You've seen it on posters in the end zone. You've seen it on bookmarks and billboards and bumper stickers. John 3:16 is everywhere. It's the gospel in a nutshell. It's the whole Bible summarized in a single verse. Its words are reasonably well known, though less so every day. What do those words mean, though? Familiar words to many of us, yet words that have a profound meaning. John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16. Little known fact about John 3:16 is that it immediately follows John 3:15, which itself immediately follows John 3:14. In other words, John 3:16 didn't just fall out of the heaven one day in isolation from the rest of Scripture. It's not this kind of glowing, timeless truth that just sort of emits love and grace all by itself. Rather, John 3:16 is part of a conversation. It picks up ideas and themes and kind of a narrative flow from what comes right before it. Jesus himself gives us a running start into John 3:16. When we go back to John 3:14, Jesus says this: "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16 is set up by Jesus being lifted up. John 3:16 is set up by Jesus being lifted up. And so to really grasp what John 3:16 is saying, we got to figure out what it means that Jesus is lifted up. John 3:16 is set up by Jesus being lifted up. So what we're going to do is we're going to look in the Gospel of John. If you have a Bible, you can get it out. We're going to look in the Gospel of John. There are three places in John's Gospel where he talks about Jesus being lifted up. So we're going to look at each of these three places where John talks about Jesus being lifted up. And as we do, we're going to notice a few things. First, we'll see that by having more questions than answers, people come to know Jesus more. Sounds obvious, but let me say it again. By having more questions than answers, people come to know Jesus more. Second thing we're going to see, Jesus being lifted up is connected to the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus being lifted up is connected to the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And third thing we're going to see, that Jesus being lifted up invites us to see, to believe, and to live through Christ the crucified. Jesus being lifted up invites us to see, to believe, and to live through Christ the crucified. So the first place is John 3. Going to move through this one quick because we just heard these words on page 887. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus comes with questions. He wants to know more of who Jesus is because he doesn't have him already figured out. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So Nicodemus shows up with questions. He wants to know who Jesus is. He wants to know about these works and signs, these miracles that Jesus is doing. And Jesus begins to answer Nicodemus's questions by talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. God, the Spirit of God, the triune God where we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus has to answer Nicodemus' questions by saying, okay, you want to talk about me and my works, that's fine, but we got to step back. There's something bigger going on that you got to know about. The Spirit of God is at work in this. Verse 9, Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" More questions. Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Nicodemus comes with questions about who God is. And Jesus says the only way to know God is to know the one who has come down from heaven, namely Jesus himself. And the only way to know Jesus is to see him lifted up, just as the serpent in the wilderness was lifted up. So a quick Old Testament review here. This is an obscure story. It comes from the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 21. Now, this takes place after the Israelites left Egypt, but before they got to the Promised Land. It's that 40 years of wandering. The people grumbled and they complained and they spoke out against God. And so God sent poisonous snakes, because that's something God can do. Just a good reminder sometimes. So these poisonous snakes are there, and they're biting people, and people are dying, and they realize maybe we shouldn't have yelled at God. And so they cry out in repentance, and they ask Moses to intercede on their behalf to God. And so God, in his mercy, he answers their prayer, and he tells Moses, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take bronze, a metal, and you're going to fashion a serpent, a snake, and you're going to put it up on a pole. You're going to raise the snake on a stick, and when people get bit by one of the poisonous snakes, they're going to look at the bronze serpent, and they're going to live. It's kind of obscure. Numbers 21, read it on your own time. A couple things to note about this story. Number one, the snake isn't magic. This is not God's plan for, like, healthcare. It's not as if you get the coronavirus, what you're going to do is you're going to make a snake, put it up on a stick, you're going to look at the thing, and God said, no, that's not how it works. The snake and the act of looking at the snake didn't help anybody. Rather, what's going on here is God chose to heal his people through this method. So this snake, which was a reminder of the death they deserved. Remember, the problem here is poisonous snakes. And so this snake on a stick is a visual reminder of the death they deserved. It's a reminder of their rebellion, and yet because of God's working, it became God's appointed means to give them life. God was giving life through his appointed means as they believed his word of promise, as they looked to where God directed them to look, and as they trusted that God would keep his word, the people lived. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. Okay, John chapter 8. Here we go. Turn a couple pages. John chapter 8, starting in verse 21 through 30. It's on page 894. So he, Jesus, said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said to him, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. By having more questions than answers, people come to know Jesus more. They've got their questions. Will he kill himself? Who are you? Jesus being lifted up here is connected to the Trinity, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here, Jesus is talking about being sent from the Father and speaking the Father's word. And John, the gospel writer, in verse 27, kind of invites us into the inside joke here. It's like, they didn't know what he was talking about. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. And what's at stake here in Jesus' dialogue around being lifted up is their very lives. Now, in Numbers 21, when they got bit by a poisonous snake, it was obvious that they were in pain and they were going to die. Our sin, more often than not, though, is a little more subtle than that. And we think we're doing okay. It's like my cholesterol. I think I'm doing okay. I can look pretty good. I'm in shape. I'm dying inside from cheese and ice cream. Some of our ailments are more visible on the outside, and many were able to mask. But Jesus reveals what's at stake here. Verse 24, I told you, you would die in your sins. He also tells them the way out, unless you believe that I am he. And Jesus being lifted up invites us to see and to believe and to live through Christ the crucified. Verse 28, he says it very directly. Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know. It's only in Jesus being lifted up as the crucified one that we know him as he is. And verse 30 here, the end of this paragraph, even as Jesus points forward towards his cross, that promise itself awakens faith and people live. Even as he was saying these things, many believed in him. All right, last part, number 12, chapter 12. It's on page 899. Jesus has now entered into Jerusalem. It's beginning of Holy Week. Chapter 12, verse 27. Jesus says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Once again, by having more questions than answers, people come to know Jesus more. They're trying to reconcile what they hear and see in Jesus with what they know from God's Old Testament promises. Once again, Jesus being lifted up is connected to the Trinity, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here, he's once again dialoguing with the Father, which instigates this conversation in the pages to come, John 14, 15, 16. It's all about the promised Spirit that the Father and the Son will send, who will enlighten hearts and remind them of what Jesus has accomplished. And once again, Jesus being lifted up invites us to see and to believe and to live through Christ the crucified, that we would have the light, that we would believe and become sons of light. And here, this final time where John describes Jesus being lifted up, he makes sure we don't miss it. If you look at verse 32, Jesus says, I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And John, the gospel writer, who likes metaphor and he likes images, and he often kind of lets them linger, and that you kind of got to figure it out yourself. This time, John won't let us miss it. He holds our hand to make sure we get it. Verse 33, he, Jesus, said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Don't miss it. All of this lifted up talk that has been going on for chapters, it's about the cross. It's about the cross of Christ, where the crucified one, that is his being lifted up from the earth. It's not this glorious rising where he's going to be a sign in the sky and draw all people to his beauty and majesty. No, it will be ugly and bloody on the cross. And in that lifting up of Christ, there is good news. Because that cross, that thing that had been a symbol and reminder of the death we deserved, a reminder of our rebellion, no longer. Because that cross becomes in God's hands an instrument and a means by which he will give life. As we believe in the promises of God, where we look to where God has directed us to look, and we trust that God would keep his word, we live. And this is the gospel, that Jesus was lifted up in death so that we would be lifted up out of death. Jesus laid down his life unto death, that we would be picked up out of our death unto his life. And the cross is God's plan to deal with our rebellion. See, this is the gospel. The gospel is not that you get a second chance and you get to try harder. The gospel is not that we say some right prayer and do the incantation right and force God's hand. The gospel is not that we do this magical thing and if we go through the right rituals with the right elements, somehow we get into heaven. The gospel is not an entrance exam that we pass with our biblical knowledge to make sure we earn eternity. The gospel is that God does not leave us to our own demise. The gospel is that God does not cause us to lay down in the beds that we made, that we demanded he let us make. The gospel is that God does not pour out his wrath on us as we daily dare him to do. The gospel is the unmerited love of God given to you, accomplished for you, by the sacrificial death of his own son in your place. That by this work of Jesus on the cross and by this announcement from God from outside of us, God would draw us out of ourselves. God would draw us out of our absolute self-centeredness, that I would see beyond me, see beyond my fears, see beyond my family, see beyond my career, see beyond my pride, see beyond my shame, see beyond my hope, see beyond my country, see beyond my diseases, see beyond me, that his word of the cross would break through my sin-crusted self and for just a moment invite me to see his love. God loves me. God loves you. To see God's love for the world. And as we see God's love there in the crucified one, we would believe anew that God is for us. God is for you. And as you see, as you believe that God is for you by the working of his Spirit, you would have a new relationship with God by his Son. And so seeing John 3:16 in eye black and sneakers and posters and billboards and bookmarks and bumper stickers, that's fine. It's okay. My guess, though, is that seeing that name of a man and a chapter number and a verse number, it probably doesn't communicate as well. It probably doesn't quite say as much, those four letters, three numbers, and a punctuation mark. Probably don't say as much as, I don't know, maybe a humble, loving conversation might, where we share the hope that is within us, the hope that is outside of us, that is in Christ, who is for us, who is for you. This day and throughout this season, may we see Christ the crucified. By his Spirit's work, may we be drawn into the Father's heart. May you come with your questions and add them to my questions. May we come with the world's questions and wrestle and hear and see and believe that together with all people, we would see Jesus lifted up. For just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. May it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.